Doing the practice of learning by heart, remembering that the covenant with the divine is writ upon each of our hearts, as the scripture promises us. You don't have to go anywhere special or do anything special. It's just about remembering that you are a child of the divine and that all you need to know is writ upon your hearts. Sometimes that's easier to remember than others. Sometimes it's a challenge. But in that challenge is the opportunity to make a choice as to how you're going to frame your life and the world and where you see your place is within that to be a light bearer for yourself and for others. I did a series a few years back around The Enchanted Map by Colette Barrett Reed, which was a wonderful book and a set of oracle cards that we actually did a class around. And she says life is a soul journey, which is something we, of course, all agree at Unity. And that the map evolves with your life as you do. That the essential part as you take this journey is to be willing to be present where you are and to accept that. I found myself going back to my first Al-Anon meeting, accept life on life's terms. Hearing that, it was like, wow. It was like somebody turned on a light many, 40 years ago now. And so it's trusting that you have within you the guidance. She says, each of us, as we navigate our lives, she called us destiny cartographers. Isn't that a wonderful term? Destiny cartographer. You get to map your life, the choices you make, the directions you go. You can go straight to something, or you can go around a circuitous way and still end up there. To go from Seattle to New York, you can either go this way or you can go all the way around, but you'll still end up where you're supposed to be. But the journey, you get to pick. She talks about how life is multidimensional, and there are signs and synchronicities that help us line up with this divine plan. And she says each of us has an inner compass, and it points to true north. True north, the divine, that inspiration that abides in the top of the night sky. And so true north abides with us wherever we go. We also have within us what I would call a soul GPS system. And in the outer world, it's a global positioning system that tells you where you are on the planet. And that's based on outer appearances. I actually had a time when I was driving a car with my mother, and we got onto a bridge, and we were just getting ready to come onto the river, and it said, turn right now. And I was like, I don't think so. That outer global positioning, but it's like, no, no. And it turned out there's a clover leaf underneath the bridge, which is what it was keying on. But it was this wonderful moment of, wait a minute, I do this in my life. Do I listen to the outer voices, or do I remember to listen to the outer voices and then be still and find out what my own GPS system is saying and how it's guiding us? You have an inner GPS system that I call the God-powered system that will help you align with where you are. And as you travel, one of the most important things is to stay focused on that North Star, that inner compass, that inner soul intuition GPS, because life will take you in all kinds of interesting directions. And doing it, the trick is to stay focused on God. This Sunday's talk is called Soul TLC. Trust loving connections everywhere in every moment. And it's about having the perspective. It's not so much as to what's going on out here. It's how are you perceiving it and responding to it rather than reacting to it. And there was a wonderful passage, a story that I came across years ago. It actually came out in 1987. And some of you have probably heard of it. It's called Welcome to Holland. And as someone who has an older brother who's multi-handicapped and has been my great spiritual master, this passage meant so much to me. This is written by a woman who gave birth to a child who was Down syndrome. I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability to try and help people who've not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas of Venice. You may even learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." Welcome to the pandemic. Holland, you say? The pandemic, you say? What do you mean by Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life I've dreamed of going to Italy. But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks. You must learn a whole new language. And you will meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. It's just a different place. It's a slower pace than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills, Holland has tulips, Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they've had. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And the pain of that will never, ever go away, because of the loss of that dream is a very, very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland. Isn't that wonderful? It's about finding the special and wonderful things, even if you're in an unexpected place. And I found myself thinking of the last year and a half that we've been going through with a pandemic. It's like suddenly we all got put on a plane and we landed someplace we'd never been. We didn't know how to negotiate it, how to stay connected, how to find the blessings where we were. And so it was our calling as souls on this earth to find and navigate our way through this experience. It was really wonderful at the beginning. For the first 6 weeks, I felt guided to do a meditation at noon every day for 6 weeks. On Sunday, we did the service, but every day at noon for 6 weeks, we gathered in spirit. And when I first got that, I was like, "Spirit, are you kidding? That's a lot." But it was exactly what I needed, and we needed, and this spiritual community and our world needed. It gave us a foundation as we landed in Holland It was like a guidebook and remembering to look for the blessings right where you are, wherever it is that you've landed. We have been so blessed this last year and a half in the midst of incredible challenges. I want to thank Rhonda for speaking last Sunday. I understand she did the best message she'd ever given, because I realize everything had kind of caught up with me from the last year and a half. And I ended up getting a respiratory crud. I knew my voice was going, which is always my marker. I still need to get a little rest. And then the nurse practitioner said, we've got to test you for COVID. And I started to say, oh, I have to go. I can't not be there. And then I went, what would I ask of others? I would ask that they follow the instructions and stay home until they're sure they're clear. And so I called Rhonda and I called David. And because we have this spiritual family, they stepped up and gifted you all with an experience that you wouldn't have had I been here. And it allowed me to get some rest, because one of the things that came as I was curled up under my quilt drinking hot tea was what an incredible challenging this year has been for us as a spiritual community and for me as your spiritual leader, to try and hold a center in the midst of something I was figuring out how to navigate each step of the way. And I could not have done it without prayer and meditation and the love and support of all of you. We do this together. We are so blessed. Last week, I came back on Tuesday to do the board meeting. I got the all clear late Sunday morning and let you all know I was clear. So we had a board meeting, and the board is wonderful and dedicated. You are so blessed to have a board that is so dedicated to this spiritual community. And one of the things that we were doing was looking at the budget for the rest of the year. And with that came a lot of fear and concern, because love offerings have been down. And that's totally, absolutely part of tying the camel. We're doing the outer embodiment and being practical and being a good steward of the resources that are there. But we all realized how important it was to call all of us to share those blessings, even more, perhaps, than we ever have before. Not because we should do it out of guilt, but because it's an opportunity for each of us to not only bless, but to be blessed, to be a channel of blessings to something that we love and hold dear. Personally, I have done a check for $300 today, which for me is significant. And I'm doing that out of absolute joy and willingness and dedication, because if I believe what I'm sharing with you on Sunday, I have to do and embody what I'm calling you all to do. One of the things that came was that passage that I read at the beginning from the movie Finding You. I came home, and the first thing that I curled up with, and I thought, oh, I'm still really tired, and I need to process, and so I did. And the first thing I did was surround every single board member with this great wave of love and blessing and appreciation for their service. We are so blessed when any one of us steps up. And then as I watched the movie from Finding You, the girl gets to this gravestone, and I stopped the film. And it was like Spirit had gifted me with what I needed As your spiritual leader, I have times where I fall to my knees as well. I wouldn't be authentic if I didn't share that with you all. But at the same time, by going to my knees, I'm connecting with the earth and spirit can lift me back up. These are the words again. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I found myself remembering a wonderful passage from Myrtle Fillmore. Unity Village was in dire financial straits at one point, and one of the people there said, "We need to pray that the money doesn't run out." And Myrtle Fillmore said, "No, we need to pray that our faith doesn't run out." We have so much to be grateful for. We're still connected in the midst of a pandemic in whatever form we can do it. Last year's FOL was this incredible blessing where we all uplifted this together. We were blessed to get two PPP loans that helped sustain us through this difficult time of challenge. We've had many, many different bequests over the years. And one of the bequests that we have that we're working with right now is the Michael McKee House that he gifted us with. And Lane is there today. I want to thank Lane and Teresa and Bianca and David and Cherry, who've worked really hard as a committee. And the house should be finished by Monday. We will have pictures taken. Teresa is going to be doing the listing this coming week. So that blessing is coming in. But with that coming in, it doesn't mean that we don't all need and want to continue to support this spiritual family that we love. The board, when that comes in, wants to carefully handle it because it's a blessing we have been entrusted with. And so we don't want to just have it disappear bit by bit. We want to consciously honor the gift and do that which is highest and best with this blessing we have received. Some of you know I shared with the board that an amazing blessing came in, not only the bequest that we've received for Unity, but recently, an attorney called and met with me, and a bequest has been given to the church for the minister by someone who is anonymous, who has died, and said, "I've watched you for 18 years," is what the attorney said, "and you have served, and I want to be sure you have prosperous blessings for you and for the rest of your life." And so he or she, it's anonymous, gave a bequest. And I couldn't even believe it. I was stunned. And the thing that has been the sweetest of all is that as the word has gone out, everyone has come up and said, "Pam, we are so thrilled for you. You have served, and we're so glad that the blessings we wanted to give you all the way along have come." Amazing. And one of the things that people have asked is, "Well, if you get a blessing, are you going to not be minister anymore?" And I told you all years ago, I would stay here if I won the lottery for as long as I'm called to be here and to serve you with love and dedication. I want to walk through the rest of this pandemic with you while we're in Holland. And I want to help us regrow this spiritual community as we're able to gather together, both online and in person. The generosity of this gift and the response from everyone who I've talked to in regards to it has just renewed my dedication. You all are my North Star. You always have been. I hope I can serve as your North Star as well. Your generosity is what brings this place alive. There are special bequests that come. There are fundraisers we do together. But the most important thing is that each of us individually do our blessed part to help this spiritual family not only survive but thrive, because that's what it's all about, moving forward together. I found myself remembering one of my favorite spiritual practices that I learned at the first Unity Church I went to, 40 years ago, and it's called The Golden Key by Emmett Fox. It is wonderful. And the golden key was what I held on to as I was watching that movie. And then when that gravestone appeared with that message, I went, yes. The trick to the golden key is very simple. Here are the words of Emmett Fox. Whenever we feel as though we are in bondage or in a situation that seems impossible, we can rise above it. No matter what the outer appearance may be, no matter how difficult it may seem, if we turn and keep our thoughts on God. Remembering that spiritual center, that which is writ upon your heart, that will ever, ever guide you. And then wherever you are, God is, and all is well. And you don't just say that, you know that, you believe that, and you live that. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Learning by heart, my deepest learning has come from my connections with people, with life, and with spirit. And so I bless you all this day, that you might reconnect with that North Star, that you'll trust the guidance that comes, and that you remember to stay focused on God, no matter how crazy the world may seem. The presence of God is ever there. I've lived that, I've seen that, I've known that as a special ed teacher, as a nurse, as a chaplain, and as a minister. There is nowhere I have ever been, however horrific, where the presence of God is not. And there is no place I have ever been that is super sweet that the presence of God has not been there. So remember, it is writ upon your hearts, always. Put your hands on your hearts. When people are asked who they are, they don't point this. Who are you? Where are you? Here. This is me, my heart. May your hearts be filled to overflowing with grace and love, faith, and peace. Thank you. Blessings to each and every one of you this day and always. You are loved beyond words. And now we're going to have another piece of music.